We would like to congratulate, upon further review, for reaching episode 50, which according to Wikipedia is a historical, don't even get me started on that, term for a time of celebration or rejoicing. It is our determined opinion that the 50th episode of Upon Further Review is certainly a time for feasting and festivaling. Stop messing with me. You're not missing a thing. You keep going and I'm just showing that I never stop to think. Upon Further Review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
And you have arrived at episode number 50 of Upon Further Review. That's right. This is episode 50 of UFR. We have been on the air for a year, over a year now, and this is our 50th episode. And we really want to thank everybody. We'll be thanking a number of people, I think, throughout this episode. In fact, this will be just basically like one of those public radio or public television deals, you know, where you just watch them and they just keep thanking everyone and then ask you to give money.
No, it's not, Greg.
It'll be just like that. It'll be really exciting.
No, it's not, because we got no time.
That's right.
Got to cut the chafe.
A couple things before we get started. First of all, we want to thank very much Drummond Elected for providing the opening to this, which you heard. And normally we don't use promos, but we thought it was so cool that he submitted it that we were very, very pleased. So thank you very much, Drummond Elected. We very much appreciate it. We want to thank Bernadette for commenting on the show about mentioning that we're hoping that we have an easy birth of our child, a happy and healthy young reviewer, as she says, and that she'll be a pig. Except I thought you said that you didn't think she...
I thought she was going to be a rat.
She's going to be a rat. This is in Chinese terms. Someone's just like, what? How could you say this about your child? This is awful. You people are terrible.
She posted a comment saying in Chinese zodiac she'll be a pig, but
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe she'll be a pig in Australia and a rat in America, which just says a lot.
That's true, especially if she's born on, you know, maybe the first, and then it will be different depending on where you were. Either way, we appreciate that. Bernadette also comments to watch your dissing of the Wiggles. They're one of Australia's biggest exports, and she says you have less to complain about than we have from the Americans, Barney. I really would like to repudiate any connection that we have with Barney.
I think everyone has their bad ones. We have Barney. The English have the Teletubbies.
Yes, the Teletubbies also. That's true. So everyone's got their
weirdos.
That's true, too. And then the last thing was that she said that you don't need that high outfits per day rating, which she calls OPD, so you won't need 120 outfits. But I just want you to know that even though I appreciate what you had to say and what Yale from Israel had to say in her comment as well about that, we very much appreciate your comments, but I'm still going for 120 outfits. So I just want to make that clear that although we appreciate what you have to say, we have reviewed it and found it wanting. And only in that case, no.
Yale also mentions a point about that the baby will be growing, and yeah, you can't just buy a bunch of newborn outfits or 0 to 3. You can't actually just go by what the, at least in America, I don't know if it's as bad in other countries, you can't go by what the outfit says. You have to go by the weight that the outfit says, because one company's 0 to 3 months is another company's 6 to 9 months. It just varies. You have to go by weight.
That's right. So we'll keep all of that in mind. We very much appreciate everyone's comments and suggestions about that. Oh, and last thing I wanted to mention was Drummond Elect also asked about a question about transcripts. Because we mentioned in the Humanist Network News audio podcast in episode 49 that we sounded like we were kind of in favor of the transcripts that they have. But in an earlier show, episode 9, about Grammar Girl's Quick and Dirty Tips for Better Writing, we hadn't necessarily liked the transcript. And I guess the way that I would put it, Clea, you can say what you were thinking about it. My view of it was that I think we really like transcripts when there seems like there's a point to have one. Like, for example, if you have an hour-long show like the Humanist News Network, and it's the kind of thing that you might even be quoting in academic papers, or, you know, things like that, school projects, I think it's really useful to have transcripts. If you're talking about something which is a 2-minute show and which basically could replace listening to the show, which was the case with Grammar Girl, if you read the transcript, then why would you need to listen to the show, which is just basically talking about Grammar
Girl? I think also our issue was that her summary was a transcript. Well, the Humanist thing, when you first open up the episode, it doesn't give you the transcript. You have to click on transcript.
Oh, that's true.
For it to give you. And with the Grammar Girl, it was, you know, this is the whole episode right here. And it, just didn't seem to make sense.
Yeah, so I guess it depends on what kind of a show you're doing, whether you need a transcript or not. But
I don't think we would have a problem with Grammar Girl having a transcript if you have a little transcript icon and then you can click on it if you want it.
Right, although alterations have been made since then. And now, of course, she's, you know, a real big shot because she's on iTunes front page a lot. And,
so what do we know?
Yeah, right. We advanced her to glory. Do we get any thanks? Do we get any Grammar Girl shout back? No. No, I'm just kidding. So anyway, and the last thing I wanted to mention, since this is our 50th show, I thought I would take a look back and see the number of countries, different countries that have listened. We didn't reach 50 countries, unfortunately. We had the USA, obviously. Australia is the second biggest country in terms of downloads of our show. I hope that's not all you, Bernadette and Tim. I hope that other people listen to us as well over there. Then we've got China. This is in order of listening. China, Canada, Great Britain, Germany, Israel, then Sweden, Ukraine, then the Netherlands, then Japan, South Korea, Denmark, Czech Republic, France, Brazil, Russia, India, Luxembourg, and Taiwan. And also on the list, not reaching that top list, but the list of countries that have listened before, we've had people from Italy, Hong Kong, Singapore, Belgium, Trinidad and Tobago, and Thailand. That works out to 26 countries. So we think that's great. But if you're from one of the countries that haven't been listed, like, where's all our Belgian Congo listeners at? Like,
I don't know
seriously.
What to say. I don't know, but I'd be willing to go to any one of these countries. So
yeah, so just keep that in mind.
If you want us to do a review of your home.
So tonight,
50 items in 30 minutes. And by my calculations, Greg,
we have 25 minutes left. Well, we want to thank Chris for submitting these suggestions. We want to thank Drummond Elected, Bernadette, Tim, AJ, Ben, a whole bunch of people that I'm probably not even remembering right now who have submitted these podcasts for review.
And then just a bunch that we made up.
And a bunch that we met up ourselves. We also want to thank ourselves. And
thank
having
you, Greg.
Said all, thank you, Clea.
No problem.
And having said all of that, you ready?
I guess so.
Then let's kick it.
So we broke it up into categories, so we'll start with the first category.
Let's start. Rainbow. Colors. Here we go. Number 6. You can find this at www.colormatters.com. colormatters.com/entercolormatters.html. And we've got 6 colors to review. Red, right. Orange, yellow, green, blue, and purple. Let's start with red. Red, my favorite color. Also the color of the Red Sox. Also the color of many other good things in the world. Apples are red. You gotta like that. The inside
blood
of watermelons
red.
Are red. Blood
it's
is red.
It's a very important color.
Yeah. You need
and
blood to live.
It's the beginning of the rainbow.
Yep, absolutely.
Isn't there infrared, which is actually technically the beginning of the rainbow?
I guess so, but it still has red in it, which shows all you need to say.
Right.
So I'm going to say 9 out of 10 for red.
9 out of 10 for red?
My favorite color. What else am I going to say?
You are so freaking biased.
Okay, 8 out of 10.
All right, 8.
8. Orange, my father's favorite color, a related color to red, the color of oranges, naturally, and the color of the Syracuse orange. But other than that, kind of limited in some ways, I think.
Well, orange is making a major comeback, actually.
I didn't know it had gone
lately.
Away. But
yeah, no, it's a very popular color right now, especially orange with the chocolate brown and light blue is a very retro, modern color scheme right now.
So are we against trends or for them?
I'm just saying that it's kind of a popular item. 6 sounds about right to me.
Okay, yellow. What can we say about yellow? The color of chickadees, the color of sunny side up eggs, and scrambled eggs, actually. Color of the sun.
Yellow
the sun
is actually
orange-ish
my favorite
too.
Color, since you keep talking about favorites.
Yes. Yellow has positive color. It also, though, can be the color of, like, a nasty off yellow. Depends. Yellow can sometimes be rendered poorly, you know.
There could be some nasty reds, Greg. Like, I'm not overly
fond. There are very few nasty reds. Okay. Do you want to say an 8 out of 10 for yellow?
Yes.
Okay. Green. Another one of your favorites. Not your favorite, but one of your favorite
colors.
Another
one of my favorites. Forest green was really big in the late 90s, mm-hmm. early 2000s. It was huge.
Yeah.
And now we're a little bit more in kind of the sage, mint greens, the olive greens.
Not only that, but it's the symbol of the environmental movement. And I think what has
That's
been a bigger
true.
Movement over the last 10 years
Didn't
than green.
Didn't NBC just have like a week or something where everything was about...
Go green or be green or do green.
Every episode they had.
I got to say green is an up-and-comer.
It
know,
is
that's,
pretty
that's
strong.
Sort of in this the 8 or 9 category, I'd say.
Yeah, Kermit was green.
Oh, Kermit, that's true. 8?
Yeah. I'll make it a 9. I think green's a 9.
Better than red?
Yes.
All right, I'll say 9 because of the implications for the environment, but red is also good. Stop mocking red. Blue.
Blue, I mean, again, the same. When you're talking the environment, you're talking green, blue, and brown.
Yeah.
Bloom's essential.
Blue's the color of the sea, color of the sky.
My eyes.
And my eyes.
No, not your eyes.
Yes.
Your eyes are not blue.
Yes, they are. They're also the color of the waveforms on Audacity that we're recording with right now, and I think that's very important. Also the color of Windows programs, you know, the top bar is a blue color.
It's a big, very important Microsoft, the color blue.
And if you highlight HTML documents in Word, it all looks blue.
Right.
So I'd say that's, I think I'm wearing boxers that are blue, so I think that all really fits.
Okay.
Yeah, and blue is another color, and red and blue for the Red Sox. So I would say that's in the 8 category also.
I think blue's a 9.
A 9?
Yeah.
How are you giving all these things 9s and you gave your bloody red an 8?
My bloody red?
My bloody red.
I'm wearing a red pajamas right now.
That's right. So it should be higher. Okay,
8.
Fine. 9 out of 10 for blue.
Okay.
Purple. Purple's going to have a problem on this list because purple is the color of eggplant, and that's an issue.
There is that poem, though. You know, I'll wear purple when I'm older.
Yeah,
with
there's
red
also.
Hat.
Yeah, that's true. There's also a band called Deep Purple, which was okay.
We did give high ratings to Prince.
And Purple Rain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, except that Prince now is annoying me because he's going off against his fans about these websites. So that kind of frustrates me.
I don't want to hold that against Purple, though, by association.
Yeah, but what about the eggplant?
Some people love purple, and some people aren't overly fond of it.
It's okay, but, you know, it's got some association. 6.
Okay.
Okay. So that covers reviews for rainbow colors. 6
right.
Down, 44 to go. On we go. Next item for review, meats.
This should make you feel better that we dissed your color red.
Dissed your color
now
red.
Now we're going to have 6 different types of red meats.
Meat number 1, beef.
Very good source of iron.
Hamburger. You got to love hamburger.
It's a little high in fat, though.
That's true. And also, there is the problem that you have to kill all of these meats to eat them. I should have mentioned
that
beginning.
That's going to be the same.
That's a category-wide problem, and I recognize that as an issue.
Right.
Beef is very delicious. There's nothing that smells better than somebody cooking up a hamburger or a steak or something like that.
Some people might disagree with you, especially our vegetarian listeners. I want to give beef, 6 or 7. You know, it's got high fat content.
Can be variable in its quality.
It can be variable in its quality.
All right, we'll say 6.
Okay.
All right, moving on. Lamb. This is many positive associations with lamb.
It has a very strong taste, though.
Yeah.
You know, it's not quite as versatile as beef, but when cooked well, it can be great. Not as many people like lamb, I think, because it has a particular taste that you either like it or you don't.
That's right.
And but, you know, it is an essential part of a gyro. Or a gyro.
Wow, that's
or
exciting.
A gyro,
or a gyro.
However you pronounce it.
5? 6?
6.
All right, 6 for that. Venison.
It's not as high in fat, I think. Venison is lower in fat.
Okay.
It's a little meatier, but again, it has a strong taste.
And it's
and it is a deer.
Chewy. And it is a deer. I don't know why that's good.
I don't know why we should care, but it is Bambi's mother, Greg.
We had no problem killing lambs, though. That was okay. We were like, oh, cute lamb, the poor deer. But lambs are destructive creatures.
I know. Do we have Indian listeners from India? So
I know,
here we are talking about destroying cows.
I know. That's true. That's true. So for venison, it's okay, but I would say that's a 5 for
me. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Pork. Pork very. Pork is
And I
excellent.
Don't want to hear anyone saying pork is a white meat.
Yes, because
that is just a propaganda.
That's correct.
By the pork community.
Pork is considered red meat by the USDA because it is red before cooking. It has been advertised as the other white meat in an attempt to make it seem healthier, but those are lies, and that will be held against pork in this review. Pork is very versatile, and pork is one of those things that if you cook it well, it's delicious. If you cook it poorly, it dries out.
It's very hard.
My mom made these really good pork chops the last time we were there. They were really delicious.
Yeah, it's so easy to make pork too dry.
But still, positive
and
overall.
You know, a large part of the population does not eat pork.
That's true, especially for our Jewish listeners.
Right.
So do we want to say a 5 or 6 because of that? Maybe a 6?
I guess a 6.
Okay, 6 out of 10. Ostrich. Now, this one's a little random because I don't even think I've ever had ostrich.
Yes,
just
you
had ostrich.
Really? We've had ostrich.
I've had ostrich? Really?
Ostriches, the last two ones we added, ostrich and buffalo,
okay,
are the new beef because they are equal in flavor but lower in fat.
Okay.
And also have the potentiality to be more organic. And
ostriches also run really fast, but they sometimes stick their head in the
sand. It's kind of expensive, though, so
yeah.
It's, you know, but it's getting there. Maybe one day it'll be.
Okay, ready?
7.
For
6?
Ostrich?
6.
6, yeah. Buffalo.
This is a tough one, you know, because the buffalo have had a difficult history.
That's true.
Especially if you're Native American, you might, you know, say, oh, it's been a real tough history in America. But
as opposed to ostrich who willingly give themselves up for the slaughter.
Right.
Is that the idea?
Yeah, totally. They're asking for it.
Buffalo, right? Lower in fat, they can also taste good. They can sometimes be a little bit tougher as meats. Than regular beef, but nonetheless, buffalo is solid. Mm-hmm. I would say a 6 or 7 for buffalo.
Okay, six.
Six. All right. That takes care of our red meats. On we go on the theme of food. We next have 9 different cultural food. Let's start out. Chinese food. Chinese food. Land of MSG, soy sauce, duck sauce. You got egg foo
Chinese
young.
Chinese food, you know, so variable in quality and can so easily be really fatty, very oily.
That's true.
If you're authentically making it yourself, great. But if you're making it in a Chinese food restaurant, it's very hard, unless you go to a really nice Chinese restaurant, for it not to be actually not all that good for you.
Okay. So, six. Japanese food. I think we're going to have a difference on this one. Go.
Japanese food, you know, I mean, they're famous for their sushi. They do have a lot of noodle dishes, a lot of rice dishes, teriyaki. But not, you know, not everyone likes Japanese food.
Including
it's definitely
me.
Well,
their textures are bad. I like sushi, okay, but the textures on a lot of Japanese food I just don't like. It seems to be slimy and spicy slimy.
But you know, these are the people that created the Iron Chef, Greg.
Yes, and Iron Chef is an incredibly awesome show that we must review at some point, but that doesn't have anything to do with the fact that their food is terrible. 3.
Oh my god!
Right.
3 for Japanese food?
How about 4?
Alright, 5.
No, 4.
There are people that, like, that's all they eat is sushi. They love it so much.
5. Korean food.
Korean food is very, very good, but it's very spicy. So it's some people can eat it, some people can't. Although the Korean barbecue is very famous, and that's usually not as spicy.
5 to 6.
All right, 5.
Okay. Vietnamese food. I must say I don't know a whole lot about
Vietnamese food.
Vietnamese food
is a lot of noodle dishes.
Oh, that's true. We've had some really good soups there. They tend to have huge soups in the Vietnamese food
soup,
as well.
Yeah.
I would say that's about a 6 as
it
well.
It can be... Sometimes Vietnamese food can be a little bland.
That's true. I'd say maybe a 6 on Vietnamese food.
Okay.
All right. Thai food, I happen to like a lot. There is the gai pan with the pad khoao, which is that brown sauce with the brown, the wide noodles and the calamari and stuff like that. Thai food is very, very good. A lot of noodle dishes, which I like.
Most Thai
and much
food
better texture
can
than Japanese.
It's like a better for you version of Chinese food.
Okay.
Although pad thai is they also sometimes use a little bit too much like sugar or sweetness. So they can be a little bit higher in calories of Thai food. But I don't know, Thai is pretty popular. I'd say 7.
Okay, I would agree with 7 for Thai food. Ethiopian food.
Ethiopian food. Those of people who haven't tried it, you really should. An authentic Ethiopian restaurant will bring you a big dish that has a bunch of these. They're like tortillas with bubble, like air bubbles. They're like big, like thin crumpets.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of different types of meat dishes, vegetable dishes, and that kind of stuff.
And just the way that you eat it is cool, too, because it's like communal and you're sitting around a table and everything, and so it's cool.
It's really good.
And we went to an Ethiopian restaurant in Boston where they used to sell the Winnie Mandela special, which was particularly funny since Winnie Mandela is South African, not Ethiopian. But
well,
I guess they figured...
they stopped selling. They changed the name.
I know. Well, after the whole stuff came out, they were like, never mind. And it didn't make sense anyway. 7 or an 8?
I'd say a 6 because not everyone's sold on it. And it's
okay.
A particular type of...
6 for Ethiopian food. Mexican food. Both of us really like Mexican food a lot. It does have a tendency to be rather fatty. It's but it also has a lot of protein. Rice and beans is a heavy part of it. A lot of flavor. Sometimes spicy, but you can get away with not spicy. A lot of cheese, which I'm a big fan of myself. So I like Mexican food, but it can sometimes be a little heavy, too, so you have to keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
I would say a 7 out of 10 for that.
7.
Okay, Italian food. Everyone knows about this. Pasta, pizza, breadsticks. I think I've just named Pizza Hut's
Italian
menu.
Food is very influential, along with French food, which we are not reviewing because we had to cut it off. Very versatile, a lot of different flavors.
Yeah.
I think we have to give Italian high rating, like an 8.
Okay, say an 8 out of 10 for Italian food. Irish pub food. You're talking about...
We thought we'd just toss this in.
Yeah, Irish pub food. Fish and chips. Guinness,
shepherd's pie.
Shepherd's pie.
That's pretty much it.
6. Pop stars. Here we go. 6 pop stars. First of all, Britney Spears. 2. I don't know whether we should rate her high for entertainment value or not.
She does have talent, but it's all pretty much gone. I'd say 4.
Yeah, 4. I'd agree with that. Pink. I'm not a big fan of Pink, although she does do the new football sound, but I'm not a big fan of Pink. You like her more than I do. She's
singer-wise, I think she has a strong voice, and she does write.
Produced
she
one,
does
though.
Write quite a bit of her music.
5.
Yeah, okay, 5.
Christina Aguilera is going to get a somewhat higher rating because even though she also is a pop star like the rest of them, she can actually sing, unlike the other ones. 7.
7?
Yeah.
Wow. I thought you were going to say 6.
6 or 7.
7, okay.
Jessica Simpson, I don't know why she's on here. 4.
Because she's a pop star.
Not a great pop star.
She's not overly strong voice.
Not overly strong
brain. She doesn't really write any of her own stuff. 2.
Wow.
She can't dance.
Okay, fair enough. She does have a cute chin, but yeah, too.
Did you say cute chin?
Yeah, well, she's got that little dimple thing.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway, Hilary Duff.
She's an actress and a singer.
I think that's stretching actress, honey.
Okay. She's kind of one of those teeny bopper pop stars, not many...
In the Hannah Montana phase, like for those of you following that controversy.
Yeah, she has her new CD out. She's supposed to be looking like a woman, and she's all grown up now.
And when she's done that, we'll review her higher. Three.
Okay.
Lindsay Lohan has the benefit of being reasonably attractive, but unfortunately is always in rehab, and her movies have been big flops, and is not a particularly good music star. Three.
Okay.
Wow, that was a pretty good low rating for pop stars.
Well done.
Okay, items from Chris. We've named this because Chris was all over the place.
We have numerous items from Chris,
so
but
we have
we're
lots
only
of
doing
items
eight
to go.
Of his right
That's
now.
Right. Video game arcades. This is an excellent choice by Chris. I was a huge fan of video game arcades back in the day. You had Gauntlet, where you would pump in quarters and be playing Gauntlet with this four-person game.
I loved
game.
The Star Wars one where you sat inside.
That was a sweet one. That was absolutely very good. I was an enormously good Rygar player and a tremendous Contra player. He also mentioned some other ones. I was also huge in Galaga, by the way. He mentioned some other ones, too. I think he said... Oh, geez, I'm sorry, Chris. I don't know.
Have they gotten really expensive now?
Because now they tend to be like two quarters a game. And, of course, if you're going to go to like play Dance Dance Revolution, you often go to a video game
arcade. It's tough, too, because you can get a lot of these kinds of games like Pac-Man now. We can get, via... The internet.
But there's still something about the communal aspect. They're still around. There's a lot of... And I used to know a guy who was one of the best fighting game players in the country, literally. He was a friend of mine back when I was living in Connecticut. And so it would be pretty cool because he had this reputation. Like, he'd walk into an arcade and people would go, oh, it's this guy. So that was pretty cool.
Five.
I beg your pardon. That's at least a six. This is a huge part of my childhood.
All right, six.
Six for video game arcades. It should be cheaper, but oh well. Reality shows. First original seasons. Now, this is basically... Chris wanted us to just take a look at, first of all, reality shows in general, but what do you rate them? And then secondly, first original seasons, like, are the first seasons always the best? As far as the rating for the reality shows, I would say a 5 because they're so variable, a 4 or 5. I don't like a lot of reality shows, but
they
some
are,
of them are,
you know, they are
others.
Challenging. They're playing their role, and I don't think they're useless. I don't think they should just be pushed aside like everyone wants to.
Okay, 5.
5. I think that the difficulty with reality shows is sometimes whether or not they're actually legitimate. Some of them definitely are planned.
You agree with his thing about the first season being the best one, then?
I think it's quite common, but I would have to challenge that that's not across the board. But for a lot of the really stupid ones that were just like, oh, this is a great idea, you know, the Real World, that kind of stuff. For the most part, those kinds of things were, it's pretty much the first season because it was great, it was a new idea, and then afterwards it just becomes rehashed and boring. VH1's Celebrality is a bunch of different shows that they do. And
okay.
So it's like reality, but it's taking it to a different level because it's reality of quote-unquote celebrities.
To the extent that they are real.
And that's the problem, is that very few of them are actually celebrities. A lot of them are, as our next item that we were going to be reviewing would say, is our D, E, and F lister.
Okay, so what do you want to say for this?
I don't know. I'd say this is a 4.
Okay. Kathy Griffin is next. If this were Russ rating it, she'd get a -5.
Yeah, and you know, but I think she's actually quite funny and has a lot of talent and is quite... You know, she has a particular shtick. She's all about talking about Hollywood and very little of anything else, and then pretty much just talking about herself. But she has quite a following. So, I don't know, 5?
Yeah, that's fine. She's okay. 5. Okay, Clue the movie. Clue, very noticeable because this was a movie that was released in many different markets and had different endings.
Right.
In different markets. And there are some cases where you could actually choose the ending. Like, you would, you know, go back and do it.
Very
it also had
cast.
Tim Curry in it, I think. Tim Curry was a butler. Yeah. Very fun movie. I always liked that movie and was amusing. I would say 7 for Clue.
Yep.
Okay, Aeon Flux. This is a cartoon.
It was an MTV series, and then they made it into a movie.
Right. Very, very creative and talented, but a little bit of the post-apocalyptic, you know, everyone dies and it's all horrible thing, which is not my deal. So I would say...
Well, the movie wasn't, but...
The movie was. No, that's true. The movie was not. But I would say that as a franchise, 6, I guess.
Okay.
Next is www.manager-tool.com, which apparently is something that helps people manage enterprise projects. Going to this website, we see that there are managers. There are pictures of a guy who looks like a manager.
He looks
happy.
There's
lots of listing about managers. 5.
Yes.
Okay, last from Chris is Ronald Reagan. 2.
Okay, well, so he was a good actor.
He's a good actor,
no,
and the second worst
actor,
president
actually.
In American history.
Okay, too.
So, good. All right, thanks, Chris. Now on to games. 12 games that we've got. Good example of a website you can look at is BoardGameCentral.com. Another good website is BoardGameGeeks.com, which has reviews and things like that of these different board games. Game number one, Blue Moon, a game that we just got by a famous designer named Reiner Nizia,
3 weeks ago,
who also designed Lord of the Rings, and it's a non-collectible card game. There's something like 10 or 12 different races, and each one of them comes with their own deck of cards, which you can get, and then play against each other. And the great thing about it being non-collectible is you don't have some snot-nosed kid who can outbuy you, which is why I like it. It's two players, and you play against each other, and you play in a series of these little mini-fights, and the winners of these fights attract dragons to their side. When you have attracted all three dragons to your side, you end up winning the game, more or less. I'm paraphrasing, but it's...
When you attract four dragons.
When you attract four dragons, right. Very cool kind of game, beautiful artwork,
beautiful,
I mean, really put together well, and Clea, for some reason, has been much better at it than me, and I've got to pick up the pace.
Yeah, I beat him every time.
I don't understand why that is, but it's frustrating. Anyway, Blue Moon, good game. 8 out of 10, I would say, for Blue Moon.
Sounds good.
Bonanza. This is a game which is put out by Rio Grande Games, a big game designer in Germany. It's a card game where you basically plant beans in fields, and you're like, wow, that's fascinating. But the thing is that you have all these different kinds of beans, and you can then trade them with other
people.
So you could say, I've got like 5 stink beans, and I'll trade you for like 4 blue beans.
And then you harvest them, and you get coins, and whoever makes the most money.
And there have been expansions like High Bone, where it becomes like,
there's a lot of expansions.
Like you become like a Wild West thing, and then there's Napoleon Bonaparte, or you know, whatever, and all these bean things. Pictures are cute. It's a fun game, and it's a good game with a number of people to play. So I'd say a 7 or an 8 out of 10.
7 sounds good.
All right, 7 out of 10. Racco, a game which Story and Russ from the Met Report don't like, but I love.
They detest Racco.
Racco's great. It's a game where you basically have a bunch of cards numbered from 1 to 60, I believe, and they're handed out to you, and you arrange them in a plastic rack in front of you from, you know, just as you get them, you just put them into order, and then you draw a card from a deck or take a card from the previous person's discard and take it and replace one of the cards in your rack with it. Your job is to get the cards in your rack in order from low to high, basically.
And over it's really all luck of the draw, a little bit of strategy in which cards you get rid of and which cards you try to, what order you try to go into. But it's a really great game where you can, guys, just a little bit of strategy, a little bit of luck, but leaves open a lot of opportunity to talk and have fun and chill.
Yep, and you know, hardly a game that will alter and illuminate our time, but well done. 6?
5.
Okay, 5? I guess a 5. All right. Hoopla. This is a game put out by the people who made Cranium, which we'll mention a little bit later on. It's basically a kind of a, I don't know, trivia slash...
just like a smaller version of Cranium.
Yeah, it's trivia slash game, and it's got this cool timer that comes with it.
Yeah, but they should have just stuck with Cranium. I mean, that was the thing, is that everyone went mad about Cranium, and then they've done all of these small little offshoots that just really weren't necessary.
So, 5?
4.
4. Okay, 4 for Hoopla. Murder to Go. This is a game which I don't think is in print anymore, unfortunately, more is the pity.
There's lots of other versions of it.
It's a party game where you basically have a bunch of props that come in this box, and then you have character sheets that you hand out to everybody, and then basically they're trying to solve a murder. It's like a
Everyone's
murder mystery party. And it's a lot of fun, especially the way that this one is designed with the props, and you have the host who every so often comes in with like an arrest report, a forensics report, and things like that through the night. And it's a good way to sort of, if you're not one of those people that just likes getting together to drink, and that's pretty much fits Clea and myself as not being those kind of people, then you like having parties where people get together to talk, have fun, listen to music, and play games, and that's
and this
pretty
is
much
good
what we
because
do
it's, you have those mystery games where they take all night. This one doesn't take all night.
Yep, just takes an hour or two, and that's pretty good. So I would say a 7 for Murder to Go.
Okay.
Cranium, famous game, a game which a lot of you might be familiar with, where you play in teams of two, and your goal is to get around this board to the center of it by dealing with a series of challenges from 4 different areas. There's a trivia section, which is called Data Head. There's a word section called Word Worm, where the cards are like, fill in the blank or spell something backwards or something like that. You've got Creative Cat, which is clay, and then also drawing like Pictionary, and then you've got
like
Star Performer,
like
where you're doing like charades and humming and things like that.
Yeah, it's a good
very
game.
Good game, party game as well, balances all together.
Yep.
7?
8?
Okay, an 8. Loot, game by Reiner Nizia. Again, a new one that I just got. Actually, Andy, our friend Andy, gave it to me. It's a card game that has, you're basically a pirate, and you have to steal ships from other people and get money as a result. It's well balanced. It is a little bit too focused, I think, on the 4 special cards, which are pirate captains.
Yeah, it's all about luck. If you get pirate captains, you're totally...
Yeah, so there is some strategy, but it's a little bit lucky. But it's a fast-moving game, and it's kind of fun. Definitely kind of
pretty
party, you know, family game. 5? 6? 5?
Five.
Shakespeare the Bard game, personal favorite of mine. A game where you're able to take on the role of a playwright in London, going around and trying to make money by putting on plays with a certain amount of renown. You have to gather props and patrons and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And if you want, you can also busk, which means you go out and read a quote. You can actually read a quote
or
and do it in a dramatic way. And if you're Catherine and don't get frustrated because someone judged you honestly, then you can actually respond well to that. You want to say seven?
Six
for Shakespeare the Bard game. Okay. Lord of the Rings trivia. How can you go wrong with this? First of all, you got Lord of the Rings. Secondly, you got trivia. This is also, by the way, by Reiner Nizia, who's
but you
a very
really
busy
have
man.
To know it. Lord of the Rings, this isn't like just if you saw the movie, you have to have read the books.
But it's a cool trivia game in that it's not just trivia. It also has to do with your gathering icons to move forward on the board. So it's not just answer a question and then that's that. You're answering questions and then gathering resources.
No, it's true. It's tough
as well.
To move forward. There is the luck of the draw. So that does make affect it a little bit. Like, actually, Greg, first time didn't win. Because of some of the ways that he was lucky in the draw.
And, that has never happened again.
And then the next game, he won it in like 12 minutes.
Which is great.
Yeah.
So 10? 12? All right, 7. Fine. 7 for Lord of the Rings trivia. Civilization. This is the board game of the computer game by Sid Meier. If you've ever played Civilization, it's a turn-based game where you basically develop a civilization. Civilization, the board game, is fun, but is huge,
you
massive.
Need a big table.
Big table and a big group of people, or not a big group,
and
but a group of people willing to play
days.
For like days. Yeah, that's the only problem is it's too long.
I mean,
long.
You can do it shorter if you just do a particular age, but still.
But it's too long, and that, I think, is the big problem. 5?
Yeah.
Okay. Cribbage, a card game that involves a board with pegs. As you score various hands, you move your pegs up the board. And the first one to what
by
is it?
By drawing cards.
What is it? The first one up to 300, 200?
I don't know. My maternal grandfather loved this game.
It's a good game, but it's always a game that no one ever seems to know entirely how to play. It's always one of those ones where like, I think it's like this. So I would say a 5. I would say a 6.
All right, 6.
Okay. Last, the Are You a Werewolf game. We are a huge fan of this since our last party that we had. This is basically a game where you hand out roles to different people. There's a seer, there's two werewolves, and a bunch of townspeople. And every night, everyone closes their eyes. The seer opens his eyes, points at somebody, and the moderator tells him whether it's a werewolf or not. Then the seer closes her eyes, the werewolves open their eyes, and then decide on which of the townspeople they want to kill. And then the next day, everyone basically opens their eyes, sees the person who's killed, and then they talk with each other about who they think they want to lynch in order to stop the werewolves
right.
the next day.
If you've
day.
Ever been to like a Gen Con, or if you're walking down the hallway and you see a big group of people in a circle randomly, they're probably playing who's
this is really
werewolf.
A great game.
You
and
don't
it's
need,
especially
you all you need is a bunch of scraps of paper and you can write on it. You literally don't need anything else.
It's one of those games that's cool too, because if you know the people in the room, or even if you don't, it's a matter of discussion about who loves what and why they would do it.
Whether
it's,
or not you trust
we had a
them.
Lot of fun in this
yeah,
game. This was
game.
Like an 8 or a 9 for me.
Yeah, I think it's a 9.
Okay, 9 for Are You a Werewolf. Good stuff. 3 left. What Should I Do with My Life? A book by Poe Bronson.
Okay, this book came out in 2002. Poe Bronson, I guess, used to be a San Francisco writer, a journalist, and now is an author, and he's done a bunch of different books. And I just wanted to mention this. The title is kind of stupid. It sounds like self-help bookish, but he mainly talks about a bunch of different people's experiences of how they figured out what to do with their life and what they wanted to do. And really, the book, I don't think, is very worth reading, because it's just about a bunch of different people who were mainly in business, either in .com or in Wall Street. And pretty much it's just them, you know, going, leaving the millions of dollars that they make every day in order to choose something else that they do, like do catfish farming or something like that. So I don't know. I mean, some people might like it. I thought it was a little one-dimensional. But why I wanted to mention this is the last story that he tells is about Denny Leonard, who is a Native American businessman, who he speaks really, really highly of in the book, and talk about how many different projects these are. And this is a man that found his bliss by doing a bunch of different types of jobs so he could learn a bunch of different things, so that when he got to the point where he wanted to do what he wanted to do, he'd be able to wear all these different hats and blah, blah, blah. Turns out that all the claims of all the different things and all the business ventures that he's been claiming that he's been doing actually aren't necessarily real. A lot of them were a lot of ideas and not necessarily really things coming through. And I just thought that was interesting, because there's a lot of things in this day and age where you read it or in the news or in a book and you think, wow, this journalist has done all this research, and he did, but obviously it's not always the case. And so I was really inspired by this guy when I read this book. And then I go, so much so that I Google him to try to figure out what he's doing. And the first thing that comes up is Denny Leonard told investors they could build wealth by helping indigenous people. And it's a
charming
tall
what he's
tale.
Doing is writing about people who lie. So three?
Yeah.
Okay. Then we have Windtuck.
Cirque du Soleil. Yep. You know, we just wanted to mention this because, one, we've talked about Cirque du Soleil in the past. We gave it a very high rating. And two, we have a habit of rating usually things that we really like and we want to share with you. And this is not one of those things.
No. This is a show which really is disappointing. It was kind of obvious and over the top. It did not have the usual sense of wonderment for me anyway that a lot of the Cirque shows do. Mm-hmm. The performers were fine, but there were some that were completely ridiculous, including one of the main characters, who's this woman whose job is to go rah, and then like
Greg
raise her arms
so
to the sky.
Upset that
and
she
then
got
she
to
like she gets some huge bow at the end. I'm like, because you raised your arms and were overweight and said rah, that was
Greg.
Your basic job. I mean, like, you know, give me a break.
Anyway, we give it a 3.
Yeah, 3. Not very good for Windtuck. And last,
there was one cool thing where a guy on a bike was doing some really cool stuff, jumping up and off of garbage cans.
Yeah,
very
unfortunately,
cool.
One bike and a garbage can is not going to get the job done, especially
exactly.
given the fact that we had to pay money for tickets. 3.
Last item,
of course. Last but certainly not least, our listeners.
Our
we
listeners.
Really want to thank all of you guys.
But do you think our listeners beat out MLK and are a 10?
I would say our listeners would have to be a 10 because they're our listeners, and so they incorporate all that is good.
They really are, because it's not just do they listen, but they make great comments and suggestions. And
that's right.
They're pretty awesome.
Yep. So we would say a 10 out of 10. And after that blatant attempt to convince you that you should continue to listen to our show, we want to thank everybody for listening to Upon Further Review. Thanks to everybody who contributed positive comments and everything else. And we will see you guys next week for another normal show. 50 shows down. Who knows how many more shows to come, many more into the future. I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
See you next week.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
it
though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.